Our scripture for today comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I know I've got Psalms in there, but I'm not going to be using that during the sermon. But I highly suggest that you read it in light of what we talked about on Ash Wednesday about getting in tune with God. But Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there by the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. There he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. May God bless this reading and our hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. O most gracious and loving Father, we do thank you this day for your word. And we pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For it's in Christ's name that we do ask all of these things. Amen. So, as you probably well know, our topic, so to speak, for Lent is Wandering Heart, Finding Faith Through Peter. So, who the heck is Peter? Well, from today's scripture, we see that he's a fisherman. He is a businessman, and his business is fishing. Well, if you think about fishermen at this time, they kind of weren't upper class in society. And they were barely lower class. I mean, it's not like fishing today where you have a big boat and you have able to put out the nets and you've got machinery to pull the nets in with all of the fish. I mean, we've all seen videos of the big fishing boats that put out this huge net and they pull up the net and they've got 20, 30 feet of fish. And Lord knows how round the net is, but there's a lot of fish there. It's not like that. Everything was manual labor, and they were relatively small boats. They'd go out at night when it was a little bit cooler because can you imagine hauling those nets? All right. And these weren't the nice little, you know, filament nets. These were rope nets. And you know, if you get rope wet, weighs a frickin' ton. So a lot of times the fishermen would actually either strip down to like a loincloth, or sometimes they would just fish naked because it was hot, dirty work. What else do we know about Peter? He was a husband. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where Jesus went in and healed his mother-in-law. So he appears to be a husband. He is kind of, I don't know, somewhat bipolar. He's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. He's steady as a rock, and other times he's a little child. He was a dear friend. He was a betrayer. He was arrogant. Oh no, Lord, I will never leave you. If you are to die, I will die with you. Hey, weren't you with him? Oh no, I know nothing. I know nothing about him. He was a hothead. He'd go from zero to maniac quickly. If you think about in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter takes and whacks off the ear with his sword, he was a hothead. He was stupid. Think about the Transfiguration. Last week was Transfiguration Sunday. When Jesus goes up on the mountain and he takes Peter along with him, and there they see Elijah and Moses. And what does this idiot say? Oh Lord, it is so good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. Totally missing the point. Peter was also profound. When Jesus says, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" Well, some say Elijah, others say John, your return of John the Baptist, whatever. Who do you say that I am? And it's Peter that says, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God." To which Christ basically says, "You know, Peter, you're absolutely right. And upon that rock that you have said, that upon that I shall build my church." Now, if we look at Mark and we look at Luke, they're a little bit out of order. If you look, as we did a couple of weeks ago when we were in Mark, if you look, Jesus calls the disciples before he goes to Simon Peter's house. Here, he goes to Simon Peter's house before he starts calling disciples. Now, I'm just saying it's a little bit amusing to me. But in our scripture today, Jesus is getting pushed by the crowds, and they're down by the lake. And so Jesus decides he needs to do something. What does he do? He gets into a boat. Does he get into any old boat? No. He specifically gets into Simon Peter's boat. Is that a coincidence? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, he saw Peter. He'd been at Simon's house. So Jesus says, push out a little bit. Now, trivia question. Why did Jesus say, go out a little bit? Oh, you just scratch. Oh, I thought you were scratching. Because of the crowd, okay. Holly! Yes. Okay. Yes, he did do it to get away from the crowd. But the other reason that he did it is because when he was out on the lake a little bit, he had a natural amplifier with the water so that more people could actually take and hear what he had to say. So he gets out there and he preaches. What he preaches, we don't know. It was probably part of the good news. And then he says to Simon, "Hey, Simon, let's go out into the deep water." And Simon, I can just see him scratching his head a little bit. Is this guy nuts? And he says, "Jesus, we've been out all night sweating. We're dirty. We just cleaned our nets, Jesus, and you want me to go back? All right. Because you say so, we'll go." And what happened? Well, we all know. There was a biggest catch that Simon had ever had. It was so big that it was breaking the net. It was so big that it took two boats to handle what was in that net. So you think about how many fish were actually in there. And then Simon sees this. He sees all of these fish caught, I would imagine, in the same place that he had been the previous night and not had much luck. You get all of this fish. I think that, coupled with what happened with his mother-in-law, Simon felt like he did not deserve this blessing. He says, "Lord, go away from me. I am a sinful man." Why do you think Peter acted like this? Well, there's a couple things going on. I think number one, he was overwhelmed by the miracle. Number two, he was thinking, "Geez, this is a lot of fish. I got to pay the Romans taxes and fees. Oh my gosh, how much is that going to be?" Also, being a Galilean fisherman and being somewhat humble, I think, in his trade, he wasn't used to seeing such a large gift, to see that abundance of fish. Have you ever received a gift, a large gift, money, cars, property, other stuff? Have you ever received a large gift and said to yourself, "I do not deserve this"? I think that's how Simon felt. Now, I think it would be a fair point to say that Jesus went looking for Simon. Jesus went looking for James and John. Jesus sought out these 12 guys to hang out with him. They weren't the priests. They weren't the scribes. They weren't the Pharisees. And Simon, he sought out a hothead, an opinionated hothead that would challenge what Jesus said to him. But Jesus sought out this hot-headed, traitorous fisherman from Galilee. Just like Jesus sought out Simon, Jesus sought each and every one of us. Okay? We're not Galilean fishermen. But I think it's safe to say, you know, we are not the cream of the crop with theologians or movers and shakers writing books and whatnot. But if we think back on our faith journey, can you think of a time where the light bulb just seemed to come on and that you understood that Jesus was a knocking on the door and you finally took and opened it? Everyone's seen the painting of Jesus knocking at the door, right? Okay. Does everybody know the oddity about that painting? There's no doorknob. There's no doorknob. Jesus is knocking. He can't let himself in. He is seeking us. He has sought us out. Now, this was a major turning point in Simon's life, okay? He is a probably somewhat successful fisherman. He has a family. He has a business. He has friends. And he leaves it all at that moment, probably dirty and sweaty, and he follows Jesus. He leaves everything behind. And he goes on to be probably one of, I hasten to say this, but probably one of the best disciples of Jesus. So much revealed through what Peter did for the rest of his time. Have you ever come to a major point in time in your lives? Have you ever come to a point where it seems like Jesus is saying, okay, I want you to go in this direction. I want you to leave some stuff behind, but I want you to go do this. It's a major turning point in our time. And I think that Jesus seeks us out at those major points in time. He's already got us, but he seeks us out once again to say, hey, I got something that I want you to do. Okay? About, how long have I been here? About a little over 3 years ago, I found out about the commission ministry within the Disciples of Christ. And I had a conversation with Bill Spangler Dunning, our regional minister, about it. And we talked through it, and it looked good to me. Bill said it looks good for me too, and I took that step. About 2 months later, Bill sends me an email. Hey, First Christian Church in Pulaski is looking for a minister. What do you think? Sure. I have a voicemail from Barbara that I saved, asking me to come and speak with the church. That was a major turning point in my life. It had always been on my heart that I wanted to do something in ministry, but that was the moment that I think Jesus sought me out again and says, I got something I need you to do. So, I want you to remember You didn't necessarily stumble into this faith. You did not stumble into being a Christian, of following Christ. You were personally recruited, if I can use that word, you were personally recruited to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus came after you, which means that you are worthy. I know we all sometimes feel, oh my gosh, I'm such a screw up. But I want you to remember, God sought you out. God wanted to have a relationship with you, just as now He continues to want to have a relationship with you. And this seeking out, He calls us to do. He calls us to go out and seek the poor, to seek the downtrodden, to seek the homeless, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the people that are addicted to pornography and the like. He wants us to seek them out and to help them. So you're worthy. You have been sought. Let us continue to seek the opportunities that Jesus would have us to do. Amen.